Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 119, recorded on March 2nd, 2011. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iPhone, iPod, Touch, App Store, and of course the iPad. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Mr. Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I recovered from last week. For those who don't know, I was sick last week and very confused, so it would have been a much less coherent show than usual.
Wait a minute. You're assuming the current show is coherent.
I'm saying less coherent, relatively less coherent. More incoherent.
I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah. Well, it would have been. Trust me. Jeff Gamet's also here. He's the managing editor of the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, and I think the only way we can be less coherent is if we start slurring our speech.
Well, you're working on that, right?
Well, as of right now, yes.
You got your maker's mark going?
Yeah, there was enough of a gap between recording Mac Jury and this that I could run to the open bar that we have at the TMO Central Towers and get myself a stiff drink.
Yeah, well, it's days like these that necessitate that open bar, right?
Indeed, and oh my gosh. It's a requirement of the journalist community.
Yeah. Yep, yep. Well, so today, iPad 2 day, of course.
We have a new communicator.
Yeah, there's a new communicator in the family. So Steve Jobs took the stage at the Yerba Buena Center, and it was kind of a surprise. I think there were a lot of people expecting to not see Steve Jobs. Of course, he's under a medical leave of absence from Apple, and there have been some stories out there talking about how, covering his health, and I don't really want to touch on that too much. But suffice it to say, we weren't fully expecting to see him, so it was great to see him. I guess there was a lot of applause when he came out on stage, so it was good to see Steve. He was emceeing the event in the way that he has in the past, bringing up various people from the company to talk about specifics with the product. Of course, he did the grand unveiling of the iPad 2, for which the event was started, or whatever.
See, we can't be more incoherent. Yeah.
I want to jump in on a couple things. One, sure. The rumors I started getting the notifications from people about with comments about Steve's health, you know, or how he looked, which just seems so something that doesn't even need to be discussed. And I thought he looked pretty good. So I don't know. Maybe I have wrong impressions.
I heard from most people that he looked as healthy as he did last time he took the stage.
And so there I am talking about what I don't want to talk about. But anyway, so that's here nor there. But I have to comment that people are doing that and they really, really shouldn't. I think we're going to see less and less of Steve. And I think it's going to just be something that is not made a big deal of by Apple.
Yeah.
Eventually he'll always be involved. I don't think he can ever not be involved with Apple until, you know, the fateful day when he's not with us anymore. But until then, I think he'll be involved in some capacity, whether it's on campus or from his home or from wherever he may be.
You know,
maybe they'll transfer his consciousness someplace and he'll always be with us.
Oh, they're probably working on downloading his brain.
That's probably what that big data center.
Yeah, that's what it's
for.
Minus
B. Very, very good point. But the other thing I wanted to ask you guys is, are you feeling, I'm starting to feel disappointed by all these announcements because of the leaks and how accurate the leaks seem to be now. Like even things like, Jeff, I think you mentioned to me this morning before the event, the rumor that there was going to be a white iPad. And I just said, oh my God. Like,
That was one.
I did not want to believe, and there it was.
Yeah,
there was the white one, white and black.
Yep.
So, you know, that was spoiled. The thin design, the rounded edges. I guess we didn't... The speaker. I guess I can relish in there's no big speaker, ugly speaker grill thing on the bottom that looks like Darth Vader's face mask.
Well, okay. So...
Right?
Right.
I mean, it does kind of suck that we're getting... And not only are we getting these leaks before, you know, we see the actual unveiling of these products, but we're getting a lot of these a couple months in advance in some cases, such as with the the basic design of the device, seeing that it'll be rounded edges and stuff like that.
I was a little let down by some of those design things because it was like I already saw that. The one thing that they somehow slipped by everybody was that smart cover.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go down the list of what the new iPad is made up of. So it's iPad 2. They're calling it the iPad 2.
It's not unicorns and ponies anymore?
No, actually it is.
It is.
Oh, okay.
It's always been made of unicorns and ponies. You just, you know, depending on the variety of, you know, what makes it up. But so it's thinner. It's 0.34 inches thick. The current iPad is 0.5 inches. So it's just... It's definitely thinner. It's a hair thinner than the iPhone 4, even, right?
That's insane.
It is insane. It's lighter. It's 1.3 pounds. The current iPad is 1.5 pounds. So not people who have handled it have actually said it's not significantly lighter. They can't actually detect the difference in that.
You mean they can't tell the 0.2?
The 0.2. Yeah.
Pounds.
It's faster, of course. It has the A5 processor. Dual core, 1 gigahertz dual core processor. So they say it's up to 2 times faster. And the new GPU in there, they say, is up to 9 times faster, which is crazy.
That's going to be a big deal, especially if I don't know what they're doing on the iOS side to leverage some of the... You know, I don't even know if it can leverage. Can it leverage like the OpenCL stuff that's in the desktop Mac OS X?
The Maybe stuff offloading
supporting that.
The OpenCL is the framework which allows developers to offload some processes to the graphics.
Yeah. Well, basically, yeah. The if the CPU is getting bogged down, it can grab processing cycles or throw a thread over to the any idle cycles that might be available on the GPU, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know the technical terms, but basically the processor, you know, the internally, if an app's processor needs more processing power, it can grab some from the GPU is how I understand it.
Jeff?
That sounds right.
Okay.
I was thinking of something to say to elaborate on that, but no, dude, you nailed it.
I think it's kind of that's the layman's version of it. I'm sure it's, I guarantee you, it's much more technical than that, and
sure.
I'm probably getting some of the terminology incorrect. But the basics is, if you need more horsepower, take some from the GPU.
Yeah, and I think that is the point of OpenCL, isn't it? That it's kind of just magic that it's done by the OS.
You don't have to worry about it. It knows what it needs to do, and it does
right.
It.
Yeah, it's handled at the OS level, and as long as the GPU supports it and the OS can and the OS manages it, and then the application, the developer can take advantage of it. I think it needs to be implemented, obviously, in the software as well, but it makes it a trivial process or an easier process than in the past to do that sort of thing. Actually, I don't even think in the past without the technology you couldn't even reach across. But
no,
now
I don't think
the bridge
you could.
And
yeah,
kind of giving you the tools to drive over it.
So overall, the point, of course, being that the iPad 2 is significantly faster, and I feel like that's the biggest improvement in the iPad 2. Of course, aside from the fact that it's much, much thinner.
You know, okay, so I'm gonna throw this out there because I'm one of these people that's suddenly debating: do I need a new iPad, and how much faster? I'm thinking with the graphics thing, the gaming could be a big deal. I suppose if you're doing a lot of gaming, especially to the 3D kind of first person shooter, more high end kind of stuff. But a lot of the games that I do are more casual games. But I hate to see it go the way of people start integrating this really high-end graphic stuff into their casual games and then sort of obsolete older devices. So I'm kind of excited about that stuff, but I worry about it a little bit. And then the second thing is how fast does my iPad need to be? Because I can honestly say with the one I have now, I can't think of a moment when I've sat there and went, oh, this thing's too darn slow.
Oh, I think that all the time. Mine's super laggy.
What are you doing with yours?
I'm not doing anything. All I'm doing
is... Did you jailbreak?
I do jailbreak, and the reason I jailbreak is
just
because...
Just so that you can complain about a laggy, slow iPad.
Kind of. No, it's really because I feel like my iPad is too slow when it allows all the applications to go into the background because it just doesn't have enough RAM. It has 256 megabytes of RAM, and that's just not enough to hold all of, you know, whatever I'm doing with Safari plus mail plus, you know,
well,
a bunch of other
iPad
applications.
Too, apparently, though.
No, we don't know.
No, I'm joking. I was throwing that out there to make everybody panic. See, everybody just like...
And see, your timing totally sucked because I was just swallowing.
Well, and, okay. So, yeah. So the reason I jailbreak is because it allows me to manage what applications background be by default. And we've talked about that in the past using using but Activator. So the biggest thing for me is, you know, with this new iPad is that it will be faster. And by all accounts that I've heard so far of people actually playing with it in the iPad petting zoo that they had set up, everyone says that they tried their darndest to put the new iPads through their paces and try to get some lagging, try to get some delay to happen. And for the most part, it's amazing. It's much, much faster. It's significantly faster.
See, I've just never noticed that my current one is slow. Nothing that I do on it has ever.
I don't believe that you do anything on your iPad if you haven't noticed it. Jeff, have you noticed lagginess with your iPad?
When I do searches. That's it.
Searches, you mean with the spotlight thing?
Right.
You actually use that?
Yeah.
I hardly ever use that thing.
Okay, so Michael, do you use folders?
Yeah.
And you don't use the search thing?
Well, I'm kind of... No, I don't. And I use folders in a way that I feel like has gotten to be pretty effective for me. So I have more folders on my iPad than I do on my phone. For what reason, I'm not really clear on. But it seems to me like I have a... You know, I have... The first two pages of applications are applications that I use constantly. On the first page, I have one folder for news applications that I use semi-regularly, but that aren't that oftenly used. On the second page, I have a folder for video applications, so stuff like ABC and Vivo and, you know, that kind of stuff that I use occasionally. And then I have stuff like music and art and various other things in on another page in a whole bunch of folders. And so for me, it's effectively categorized that I don't actually have to search. I know exactly where I'm going, and I don't know, I just don't want to search.
Okay. Now, see, I have my first homepage is just applications, no folders, and these are applications that I use every single day. Then when you jump to the second screen, at that point I start adding in folders, and so I have applications grouped by type of function. Let's be real here. They're grouped in a way that at the time I grouped everything seemed to make sense. In reality, what it did was it let me condense everything down to like three screens, and now I use the search function to find every app that I want to run unless it's on the first page.
Fair enough.
You know, I think I solved the problem of why my iPad doesn't lag, because you have to remember I'm freaky about the background apps too, though.
Oh, do you close them?
Oh, God, I hate them being open. I close them all the time.
Oh, God, and I forget to close them.
See, that's the thing. See, on my iPhone 4, I just let everything do what it wants because it has enough RAM.
I have done that by accident, and that's when I notice things start to lag.
See, I want that ability, and I feel like that's when the multitasking becomes magic for me.
Well, I like the multitasking. I am using that a lot more, flipping back and forth between applications, but there's really only a few applications that I need to do that with. And I just want those running in the background all the time. Everything else I shut down. I don't need every game that I played over the past 2 months running or sitting there in the background. I don't know what's going on in the background. I guess it's part of the problem with the...
another reason why I jailbreak, because it lets me install this thing called Switcher Mod, which has gotten a little bit ridiculous over its small development lifespan, but it allows me to... it has this feature. It was initially called Clear Recents or something like that. So it would remove anything that was just a recently opened application and only show apps that were actually running in the background.
Yeah, right. I think I just figured out why my iPhone seems so slow all the time. 21 screens worth of apps running in the background.
Yeah, well, see, and this is the thing. So Apple promised us or told us that a bunch of these apps wouldn't be doing anything, right?
But they do take up RAM.
Huh?
They do take up RAM, though.
They do? Well, that's lame.
Well, that's how it backgrounds, dude. It has to sit in RAM.
But, okay, again, my calculator needs to sit in the background and use up RAM?
So maybe. I mean, again, this is why I jailbreak. So I say, hey, calculator, don't run in the background. That's dumb.
Yes, so I'm with you there. But so I'm fanatical about closing that stuff down, consequently. So I'm constantly wasting my time shutting that stuff down. I still wish Apple would add the feature that would allow me to define a list of applications that say, these apps never run in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Yeah, that's what I do all the time. Jailbreak, guys.
I'm wasting time right now clearing out more apps than I care to count.
Okay, so that's maybe the one jailbreak feature, but that's not enough for me because of other issues that I don't want to deal with.
Okay, fair enough.
So I guess that's why mine's never been slow. So if you need to have millions and millions of applications, then this iPad 2 is going to be awesome. The one thing I'll point out, and I was joking about it earlier, but Apple does not ever disclose in iOS devices how much RAM these things have. And I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're secretive about that aspect.
Yeah, they at least at Ars Technica, they asked the representatives there and they did not give them an answer. They said that, you know, we feel that that's not important. And what consumers really care about is using the device, you know, just an Apple response.
Well, you know, I think beyond the tech community, beyond us nerds, I think that is true. And I think what Apple's trying to do is get out of this numbers game, because at the end of the day, what matters is the real world performance of the thing.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And how it reacts. And the thing is Apple, even despite things like what we're talking about here with background applications and the devices getting slow, I've talked to people and I've been using an Android device for a while and it's much worse over there. You know, like
my battery is
dead for no reason after a day. And I haven't used the thing. And it's like, what the heck is going on here? And, you know, things are bogged down and you don't know why. And I, you know, even in those rare instances with my iOS device, it might go weeks before it gets to that point where it's bogged down. And it's just because I forgot to shut down background applications. But I can do that on my Android phone. I've seen that happen in a day and a half, and I'm not even using it that much. So, and I've talked to other people about that. So does it really matter if it has twice as much RAM, if it bogs down twice as fast?
Right.
Probably not.
If the software is there to make sure it's all managed properly,
right,
then we shouldn't have to worry so much about the actual specifications. But
Apple's going to figure that stuff out, and they're going to go, okay, we optimized this for what amount of memory we have and what kind of processor we have and what kind of battery performance and screen we have, and we've figured all that stuff out for you, so you don't have to think about it. We're just going to tell you, you can run these apps and you can run this OS and you can do these things with it, and it's going to work.
Right. Yep.
I think they honestly are. You know, it came clear to me during this event because everybody was asking for these technical specs, and I realized it's just us nerds freaking out. But at the end of the day, when I'm using the device, I don't really care. I don't know that my iPhone, you know, has half as much as my iPad or whatever it is. They seem to work.
Yep. They also say it has the same low power consumption as the A4, so they say that there's no reduction. I guess the you know, some people were talking about, oh, this is a great way of spinning the fact that there's no increase in battery performance, although it is a thinner device, so it's great that we haven't lost any battery life. And honestly, I don't really ever have to worry about recharging my iPad. There are very few times where my iPad gets below 50% before I recharge it.
You know, I don't even pay attention to charging my iPad. It just kind of happens every now and then because, oh, there's a cord here. I should plug it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's been such a non-issue with these devices for a while.
And that's one of the killer features of the iPad that just, you know, it's such a non-problem that it's not even talked about. But that's one of the features of the iPad that just makes it so amazing. You don't have to worry about the battery life. It means it's not a computer. It's an appliance.
Do you guys want to speculate on the RAM just to nerd out? Because I'm kind of curious.
I'm gonna guess 512.
That's what I'm betting too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're gonna take a hit for it, which is probably why they didn't announce it, right? Because everybody's gonna go,
but they never announce it. They never ever announce it. They've never announced it.
Yeah, I think the reason for not announcing it has nothing to do with taking a hit because other companies have a gig of RAM. I think it's all about Apple is very carefully crafting the message, and what they're telling people is all these numbers that companies have pushed down your throat all the way back into the PC days to try and make you think a device is better simply because it has four digits instead of three somewhere in a description, it's irrelevant.
Well, and I think Apple will point to a couple areas if they had to, they could point, and they won't, but we will, or I will. Point to a couple of areas, which is price point.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think Steve mentioned that five of the six models of the iPad are all below the Motorola Zoom tablet.
Right. And where do you think that extra few hundred bucks went? You know, flash memory is not cheap and it's getting more expensive, or RAM, I guess I should say more appropriately.
Sure. Well, yeah.
I don't know. RAM,
right.
Whatever.
But Apple's really good at securing deals on RAM at lower prices.
Right.
Right.
But,
so,
but even still, and then the other thing they could say is, well, a lot of that extra memory is for running Flash.
Yeah. It did seem like they spent quite a bit of time kind of bashing the competition or kind of celebratory, you know, talking
they
up.
They took their nice little pot shots.
Yeah, they did.
Here and there when they could, in the nice way that Apple does it, sort of that backhanded, subtle way.
Yep, yep. Well, I mean, so moving on, we got the front and rear cameras, of course, as we were anticipating. The back camera, they say, is an HD 720p resolution at 30 frames per second. They did not mention what the still camera resolution is.
I'm assuming it's the same cameras that are in the iPod Touch.
That's what I'm going to...
So it'll be crap photos, good video.
Yep.
And shut the hell up, people, and finally get your damn cameras.
Because there's no flash. I don't know. Honestly, I don't think I need a camera on my iPad, but hey, it'll be fun to do FaceTime on my iPad.
FaceTime is going to be really nice on the iPad. I think a lot of people are going to use that, which is a good thing. For the rear-facing camera, the resolution, I think you're right. The video is going to be really good. And then really, the rest of it is I think, more for the kinds of apps you'd want to use that forward-facing video for on the iPad are going to be like games and the augmented reality kind of stuff.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to be enough to do the things that some of the cool apps that take advantage of that can do. But yeah, I can't imagine you, the kids are being cute right now. Let me get out the iPad. You're not going to grab your iPad. You're going to grab your iPhone or your pocket point and shoot.
Yeah.
Right. You're not going to pull out a fracking pie plate. Okay, bud, let's get photos. And yeah. No.
Yeah. The front camera is VGA resolution, 30 frames per second. Again, VGA quality still camera, which VGA is what?
800, 600.
Yeah,
yep.
That sounds right.
It's just fine for FaceTime.
Yep. I kind of expected to see an HD FaceTime camera, though, since that was announced with the new MacBooks, right?
No way. That's only for the not desktop enough, computers for
not
now.
Enough room.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you really need the HD thing. Okay. Also, I need to see how FaceTime works on the iPad before I can justify saying, oh, yeah, putting the HD camera would be great for the front facing. Because I'm assuming you need to hold the iPad in portrait mode to really take advantage of the FaceTime camera.
Well, most of the demos they showed were done in landscape for the FaceTime camera.
Oh, they were?
Yep.
I was busy writing, so I missed a lot of
that's
the
okay.
Photos.
Yeah. They also, of course, announced Photo Booth will be included.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, they were talking about how they, you know, they have effects in Photo Booth as you do on your Mac. And they were mentioning the fact that they could show 9 video streams with different effects on each of them simultaneously on the iPad, you know, with the faster graphics and whatnot.
Yeah,
it's very
I'm
impressive.
Assuming that's not going to be supported on older devices.
Well, there's no
I
camera
think that's
on older
a safe
devices
bet because they're yeah.
Oh, you mean the on the iPhone and
the iPhone 4, or the original iPad. A lot of people are wondering about that. I think I'm hoping that they'll bring Photo Booth to those, but I'm hoping that it'll operate in a way where you're just not going to get, you know, 9 streaming things of video. You'll get
like
little
5
stills or something that just updates at a slower frame rate. Yeah, I don't know how they'd handle it. Maybe you can only get 1 effect at a time on older devices, something like that. But I hope they don't exclude the older devices from that have. Well, I guess it'd be the iPhone 4 would be the only thing that would really make sense for it because of the forward-facing camera. But
yeah, they didn't really make any mention of that in anything. Of course, we have black and white versions of the iPad 2.
Actually, an actual shipping white product.
Yeah, they said shipping from day one. They say shipping from day one.
That's they told us the original iPad. Phone.
Yeah.
Well, they have no flash to deal with, right? And the white is not on the back. It's still the aluminum
back.
That's
true. I'm okay, whatever. So for people that want a white iPad, you get on with your bad selves.
Me. That'd be me. I'm getting one. It looks
and you know, Michael, you're gonna look so damn cute with a little white iPad cuddled up in bed.
My Hello Kitty case.
That's right.
Are you going to get the pink cover?
Yeah, with the bow.
Oh, yeah. I can totally see Michael doing that.
The smart cover. Is that what it's called? Smart cover?
Yeah, let's talk about those.
Did we finish? No, we didn't finish one of the most important things on the new.
Okay.
The video out on everything?
Gyroscope.
Video out on everything.
Yeah, video out mirroring via the HDMI. There's a new HDMI adapter dongle that you can get. It has a dock connector and an HDMI out, which
That's
mirrors everything on the iPad. So the home screen, every application, the apps don't have to be rewritten or tweaked or anything to take advantage of it. It just works. It's
that
very
is
cool.
Be so nice for presentations.
For
yes,
so many reasons,
God.
Yeah.
Oh.
Finally. Yeah. Finally.
I mean, for me, that alone is worth buying a new iPad. Everything else is wonderful icing on the cake.
I did notice the dongle is a little bit more expensive than prior versions.
Isn't it like $40?
Yeah, it's $39 instead of $29.
Well, you can just get the VGA
better budget
adapter.
That in too.
And CDMA and GSM, both Verizon and AT&T.
Yep, for the 3G versions.
Yeah,
same price points.
And different. But different models still, not the universal chip, it doesn't look
Are
like.
Are you sure? I think, I believe
it's
the...
It's not how it's listed on the tech spec page.
Are you sure?
See, that's not how it sounded when they did the presentation. It sounded like it was all in one.
Okay. So according to who?
But...
If you look at the tech spec page, maybe I'm just reading this wrong, it's separate bullet points.
Wi-Fi plus 3G model, UMT... Okay, you're right. Wi-Fi plus 3G for Verizon model. You're right.
Yeah, and they're calling it 4 Verizon model.
Yep. The Wi-Fi plus 3G model and the Wi-Fi plus 3G 4 Verizon model.
Yep, you're right.
Man.
So that's not how they made it sound in the presentation.
Yeah. Make sure you get the Wi-Fi plus 3G version, because who cares about getting a Verizon model of the iPad? Right? Because we don't have any voice calls to drop, right?
You know, okay, here's the reason I could see getting the Verizon one. Is if your iPhone is AT&T and your iPad is Verizon, and you need to make sure that you have internet access everywhere you go, then you've got your bases covered.
Who has a cheaper tethering plan?
That's a good question.
I think it's Verizon by like $5.
Can you tether
maybe
with your iPad with 4.3, since that's a feature?
Nope, iPhone 4 only.
Oh, that's right. They made a very specific point on saying that, didn't they?
Yep.
Oh, well, then the interest in a Verizon iPad for me just completely evaporated. So it looks like I won't be getting a 3G capable iPad at all.
I'm getting all Wi-Fi now because I'm perfectly happy with my Android Virgin Mobile hotspot.
You know, honestly, I can't for the things I do, I can't justify getting a 3G iPad. Because I'm either at Starbucks or someplace else where I'm going to have Wi-Fi, or when I really need to have mobile, like a MiFi type service, I'm going to be with someone that already has a MiFi, like at Macworld Expo,
right?
And so I will piggyback onto theirs for that hour that I need it. Like, you know, like if we're doing live coverage of an event, and the rest of the time I have not found a need for 3G at all.
Yeah.
So
it's becoming less and less.
The price points are the same as they were previously. $500, $600, and $700 for the Wi-Fi models, 16 gig, 32 and 64 gig, same sizes. The plus 3G versions are all $130 more.
Yeah. Just as before.
Yep. Available on March 11th. And they are not taking pre-orders. They're not taking reservations.
Yeah, that is a huge change. Yeah. I think they're trying to force people into the store to kind of make it look buzzier than it is.
Yeah, so they say
to make it look better than the Verizon iPhone launch, where yeah, where the photo I got was of two people.
Exactly. I think there might be something to do that, because they've never done this before where they're not doing online pre-orders, right?
Yeah, but you can't even reserve, which is kind of irritating.
That's
but I guess
I mean,
that would force
online
people
pre-orders
to line up, to be sure to line up. Because so the iPad 2 goes on sale on the 11th at 5 p.m. at Apple stores only, right? Not Best Buy?
Wait, at 5 p.m.?
5 p.m., yep.
5 p.m., yep.
Where does it say 5 p.m.?
On Apple's website, if you click the How to Buy button.
Okay. I just wasn't sure where that was. Okay, cool.
Yep. So I will be at an Apple store getting a white iPad. I've already listed
at 5 a.m., right?
No. No, I have already listed my...
you're not? I'm going to be there all day.
I mean, I have other things to do, like watching internet videos and stuff. So,
yeah,
you
but you have an iPhone
on your
for
iPad
that.
One in line at the
No, I'm selling my iPad. I'll be iPad-less by the time I get the new iPad. So, my current iPad's already listed on eBay. Hopefully, I'll get some money for that.
What are they going for?
Well, the previous. You know, before today, the completed listings on a few of them, I saw upwards of $700 for some reason, but I think that's for bundled things. But
that's crazy.
Yeah. So the smart covers, right?
Well, one other thing I want to ask you guys, storage wise, because I've got to disclose, I think I have a problem now. Because I was thinking, oh, you know, I don't need to get another big. I can go with a Wi-Fi model. I can go with less storage. You know, I have the 64 3G model. You know, I went all out on the first edition.
Yeah.
And then I thought, you know, I better do an assessment of, you know, what my storage is on my current devices. And of course, I go look at my iPhone, and I have the 32 gig iPhone. So I'm like, oh, that'd be a good comparison. You know, 32 gig iPhone, 32 gig iPad. I have 10 gigs of apps
Wow.
Yeah. I think that's a problem. I think apps are going to be the problem. And I think, you know, with this new model, I'm worried with the better graphics and you know, apps are going to get more sophisticated and more like they have a GarageBand now. And what about all the instruments and effects? And I think a lot of apps are loading a lot more data into the iPad that into these iOS devices that we're not aware of. And I'm wondering if you're still going to be able to get away with the 16 gig.
Well, I
have 5 gigs of audio, 5 gigs of video, 5 gigs of photos, and then 10 gigs of apps on my iPhone 4. And then on my iPad, same thing, 10 gigs of apps. I have the 64 gig iPad and I only have 22 gigs free.
I have to say that sounds kind of crazy. I have 25 gigs free on my 32 gig iPad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't load. I put some music on there so I can play with music apps, but I could do without music. I have Zumo Cast for streaming music, and I hardly ever need to listen to music on my iPad anyway. I use Air Video for streaming any video content from my computer, so I don't need to stream to store any video. And a majority of the applications that I use on my iPad are web content based, so I really don't need to have a lot of space. I'm definitely going for the 16 gig this time around, mostly to save money, just because I don't need it.
Yeah, that was my thing. I was hoping to go, but I think I can't go below 32. I think I'm going to start.
I don't think I could go below 32 either. And if I'm going to end up doing any GarageBand or iMovie stuff,
yeah, that's
on my iPad
video,
then I'm going to need some space for that.
Yeah, I don't know how much I'll do video though. I have the iMovie app on my iPhone, and I made one movie with it to test it out, and I haven't used it since.
Yeah, I've done a couple movies on my iPhone, but I don't like doing the editing there. Even though it works well, the screen just feels too small for me. But yeah. I could see being at events where I want to capture video and I capture it on my iPhone, then use my camera connection kit, send it over to the iPad, do some editing there, and then share it at the event.
Yeah, that's going to be like the killer little portable video rig, an iPhone and an iPad with a camera connection kit.
Yeah, I even though the new iPad will have the 720p camera for video, I don't see that as a primary capture point. The iPhone 4 is going to be where that happens.
It's too unwieldy. I mean, the same reason why the front camera just doesn't... It's good in a pinch, and which is why I think it doesn't have to be that great quality, but it's not going to be that camera that you grab because it's just holding up your iPad. As you mentioned, even at 1.3 pounds, it's kind of heavy.
Oh, yeah.
So, cumbersome. All right, covers.
Smart covers.
We're going to get excited about covers from Apple.
Everybody's been excited about these smart covers. They are really cool. So what Apple's done is they say that they designed these smart covers, the case for the iPad 2 alongside the iPad by integrating magnets into the left side. And so this cover is magnetically held on. It covers the front of the device only, so covers the glass. They're not really worried about the aluminum on the back. It has a hinge on it, so you can bring it around to the back when you're actually using the device, fold it around the back.
And it folds into a stand.
It folds into a stand in varying ways.
It's like a little origami.
Yep. It has. They actually say that there are magnets to aid in keeping the stand held together, which is very good because, as most of us probably know with experience with other cases, that can unfold easily. And maybe one of the coolest parts is that it has a little magnetic sensor that knows when you take the cover off. So it unlocks the iPad as soon as you peel it back, and when you close it, it locks the screen, and you can hardly see it happen. It's like trying to see if the light in the fridge turns off when you close the door.
It's cool because they gave you the first little fold in the case, lets you flip it up so you can kind of just peek at it.
Yeah, Yeah.
Play peekaboo with your iPad. Peekaboo. Oh, no. So clever and cute.
It'll be interesting to see if case manufacturers are going to be able to integrate that into their cases, or if Apple... I heard that Apple might not be allowing that.
I don't see any reason why they couldn't, because part of the system is built into the iPad itself.
Yeah.
So if you know where to put your magnet pieces,
right,
then you can make cases that take advantage of that too.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be very cool.
Apple used special magnetic material that's only found on Steve's home world.
Yeah. It has special RFID in it. Yeah, hopefully there'll be a magnet API or something.
So they use Stevonium in the iPad.
Yep. I don't know. I predict now there is going to be some weird articles about people being in certain places, and they're like, my iPad just keeps shutting off. And they're going to be, you know, near like a, you know, what are those... scanners,
the particle accelerator.
Yeah, big medical scanners that are magnetic. Or,
you won't be able to use the new iPad around MRIs. Yeah,
or something. You know, or just to get it too close to some magnet, you're gonna have all these tech guys like me going, I'm trying to troubleshoot this guy's iPad. It keeps turning off. You know, he's got one of those refrigerator magnets, little alphabet letters. Like sitting on his desk. That
triggering it. The MacBooks have, I mean, even back to the PowerBooks have had the same magnetic sensor in it since
you
forever.
You know what? I had somebody do that. You know what? There is. Somebody emailed me one time and they're like, oh, dang, this thing. I keep putting my iPhone by the left hand speaker of my MacBook and it goes to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I was about to do that
and
for
like,
me.
I'm like trying to reproduce it. And I finally reproduced it. And there's anytime you got the speaker, the iPhone speaker, near the little magnetic area that would hit that sleep-wake switch on the MacBook Pro, it turned it off.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it was the magnet. What I finally figured out was it was the dang magnet from the speaker. And the way he found it, he just had accidentally set his iPhone down on his MacBook Pro one day and click, it went off or it went to sleep.
See, I was about to try that and then I realized it might not be good for our recording.
No, that would not
be good
for
our recording. You have to do it in a very specific way. I think I might have done a video on it. I'll try and dig it up.
Well, unless Apple did something where the magnets that hold the cover in place at the hinges are engaged, then I would assume that you would be able to put a magnet in the appropriate places on the bezel and get your iPad to shut down. But if you have to have everything aligned properly for it to work, like maybe there's some circuit that has to be completed.
That would be so Apple to do also.
Mm-hmm. It would. Yeah.
So let's see, iOS 4.3.
Wait, one more thing on the covers that I have to ask you. Is anybody buying the microfiber, inside,
no,
which is nice for protecting the screen, but that it's going to actually clean the
iPad
screen as you're opening and closing the case?
It will not. I don't believe
that. I'm totally buying that it works, and that's only because Timbuktu gave me a case to test that they make for the current iPad, and it has the microfiber on the inside. Mm-hmm. And instead of cleaning as it opens and closes, it's that little slipping vibration movement thing that you get when it's in your bag, where it's just kind of rubbing back and forth.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
I didn't know that would be enough. So that's enough to kind of keep it smudgy free.
Yeah. Now, if you start with clean glass, the Timbuktu case was fine for doing that. If you start with dirty glass, well, no, because it's never going to catch up with you. But I was very pleasantly surprised with Timbuktu's case.
And, oh, cool. Well, if it works, that's a big bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So until I see otherwise, I'm going to totally believe that the microfiber on Apple's smart cover actually works.
Okay. Leather or... what's the other material? Vinyl?
Polyurethane.
Polyurethane. You know,
I'm going to go with the polyurethane because...
Is that like Apple's current case? Is that what that material on Apple's current case is?
No, they never said what it is.
Well, from...
That's another Steve Homeworld material.
Yeah, there was a little disclaimer at the end of one of the videos, one of the promo videos, saying that rubbing off of the dye on the leather cases is normal.
Well, yeah, they have to say that because they're
because
using
the... Because that's going to happen.
What?
Because it's going to happen. They were even saying at the in the petting zoo, they were saying that it was already happening.
But it, rubbing off onto the iPad or onto like the table surface or something.
Just
like that.
Rubbing off.
Just wearing away.
Just
like
wearing
like
away.
Any leather will do as it
works. Yeah, it's because they like impregnate the leather with the dyes. So
you know, if it
gets a little wet or gets, you know, moisture from your sweat on your palms, the dye is gonna leach off.
Yep.
For a while. Eventually that'll break in and stop, but
you know, I'm looking at the colors and I'm thinking that I'll end up going with the leather cover because the polyurethane colors I really am not pleased with.
Do they have a natural leather one that's maybe not colored, just like a beige or a brown or something like that?
They have a tan, dark brown. It looks sort of like a dark slate blue-gray color, and then red.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Michael's obviously getting the pink with his white iPad. So
right. As well he should. Oh, there's a really light cream color in the leather also. But yeah, Michael, that pink, that's going to look so cute with you. I can't wait to see your smile as you're holding up your pink iPad.
Yeah, and doing the Asian schoolgirl salute, you know, the two finger peace sign thing.
See, my heart is racing already.
They didn't give pricing on these covers though, right?
Yeah, they did.
They did.
It's like I think it's
like $50 or something.
I think it's like $39 for the polyurethane and $69 for the leather. And I might be off, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
How to buy.
That sounds about right. I was worried they were going to be like $100 for the leather ones, which Apple's done in the past. Remember the $100 leather iPod case? It's like a leather slip case.
I vaguely do.
That was another hockey puck mouse moment.
That was the same time they introduced the socks, which they still sell, by the way, in case anybody was wondering. You can get your iPod socks.
Yeah. Okay. $69 for the leather, $39 for the polyurethane.
So I had it right. Okay.
Good job. Nice. Okay, so iOS 4.3, available March 11th, of course, Verizon iPhone excluded, oddly enough.
Why is that? That baffles me.
It has to have something to do with the radio chips. That's all I can figure. And so
yeah,
they must have to do something with the code.
They could just not update the baseband and be like, here's the software, ta-da. I don't know.
Or maybe Apple still really hates Verizon.
That's possible. So AirPlay for apps, as we've known before, so it's available to application developers. You can do audio and video over AirPlay. Faster Safari, they say that they're using the Nitro JavaScript engine, so it'll be faster Safari. Of course, iOS 4.3 is included in the iPad 2, and it will be available for the first generation iPad as well. iTunes home sharing, which is a new thing, something we did not previously hear any rumblings about. So iTunes home sharing allows you to stream as you can through iTunes on other computers. You can stream music from other computers on your local network via iTunes home sharing, which is very cool, although you can't do it over 3G, which does suck.
That's probably a concession to cell service providers who are already freaking out about the fact that Apple has shown that their infrastructure totally sucks.
Huh?
I'm confused about the home sharing thing.
Okay.
Is that so? That's something I can't do. The whole AirPlay thing baffles me because you get in this push pull situation, right? Where right now I can push a lot of stuff in a lot of ways, and I guess a lot of the home sharing AirPlay stuff is more pull based. Is that where we're ending up?
Yeah.
Is that where my confusion's coming into play?
Yeah, the way I understand it, the changes that we get in iOS 4.3 will allow us, instead of simply pushing the video from our iPads and iPhones to Apple TV and other AirPlay compatible locations, it's now adding in the ability to pull from those locations to your iPad. So now I can access my iTunes library on my MacBook Pro while I'm sitting on the couch with my iPad.
Oh, and I guess we haven't been able to do that, right? I'm thinking, because I can bring up the remote app and I can tell iTunes to push something from my iTunes library to my Apple TV or to an Airport Express with some speakers or like that, right? But I guess I can't direct it to play on my
on
iOS
your iPhone
device.
Or your iPad, right?
Right, and that's okay. The big addition that we get now.
And yep. Now we'll be able to do that. So I guess that'll be accessed through like the iPod application or the...
Probably the iPad app or the iPod application, yeah.
That would be my assumption.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Of course, the side switch, as we've known for a while with the betas coming out, the side switch has an option now to either be the rotate lock or the mute switch, which is awesome.
You know, on one hand, it's absolutely awesome. Primarily because people don't have to listen to me bitch about it anymore.
Yeah.
But
there's a downside.
Well, the downside is here we are praising Apple, giving us back something they should have never taken away in the first place. And they're touting this as a feature now.
Well, they say that it was something that, you know, some customers really wanted a mute switch and... Of course, as we know, of us really wanted the rotate lock.
I want everybody who wanted a mute switch to email us.
Yeah, I'm going to get
and
no
then we'll,
emails.
We'll take a tally next week on how many emails we get.
Yeah, feedback at wehavecommunicators.com. I'm guessing we'll get
That's
zero.
Your assignment.
Yeah.
And if we get none, I'm gonna officially state that nobody wanted that feature. So you better email us if
it's going to be great when the inbox just explodes from email. But
I will be surprised if it explodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that many people wanted a mute switch on their iPad.
Yeah. Personal hotspot for iPhone 4, of course, as we've known. Yep. I'm pretty sure that's been confirmed by AT&T as just being a part of the tethering feature. Up to 5 devices can be connected to the personal hotspot at one time. And that is, it's limited to, and this is these are new details today, I believe, up to 3 devices via Wi-Fi, 3 devices via Bluetooth, and 1, of course, via USB. So any combination of those, up to 5 total.
Oh, okay. I was confused by that.
Yeah, me too. Okay. It took me a minute to figure that one out, but yeah. Up to 5, and those combinations are limited.
That's weird.
It is weird. But I guess only 3 devices via Wi-Fi is the limitation. But hey, it's still cool. I'm
okay,
gonna use
so
it.
that's got to be like an iOS limitation, whereas the 5 is the cellular limitation, right? Because most of the cellular contracts say 5 devices.
Yeah. Now like here's my question.
Like
you know how they limit FaceTime to Wi-Fi only, right? Well, if you're on Wi-Fi on your iPad via personal hotspot, is it going to somehow know that you're on cellular data and then disable FaceTime?
I thought they said, didn't they say today FaceTime was available over Wi-Fi except again, or over 3G except on Verizon?
I didn't hear that.
Let me find it.
Jeff?
I think I saw that.
I don't remember. Of course, I've been bouncing around between so many things today. Yeah, it's a wonder. I
think it was in the mouse type on the FaceTime page. Let me see if I can find it while you guys continue to chat.
Okay. So do we want to talk about, okay, we briefly touched on GarageBand. Of course, GarageBand is coming to the iPad. I believe it will work on both versions of the iPad. It looks very cool. And I recommend checking out the demo of that because there are just some neat things in there that you just got to check out, right? Anything exciting for you, Jeff, specifically with GarageBand for iPad?
I know from a general consumer standpoint, the ability to be able to use your iPad as several musical instruments, real time,
it looks that's going very to be cool. Nice. I mean, they have a lot of nice little touches, such as the attack on the keyboard keys, for example. It knows how strongly or quickly you strike the key, so it has more punchiness to it. I don't know what the technical term for that is. I think it's attack. Some various cool things for the guitar synthesizer that it has. So you can, they give you a grouping of chords that are all in the correct key, so you can very easily play the guitar.
Right. Now, see, the big thing for me with GarageBand for the iPad is that you now potentially have a powerful portable podcasting studio.
Oh, yep. Really? Now, yeah. isn't there a thing that allows you to plug in your guitar? Is that a first party thing?
Yeah, you're thinking probably of iRig.
No, I saw something in one of the videos.
They showed a different one on the video. Yeah, I forget which thing it is. But there's a couple different companies that make ways to attach instruments to your iPad.
So it requires that, but GarageBand does allow you to plug in your guitar and actually use effects.
Well, and you can plug in USB mics through the camera connection kit.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And get stereo audio, so... And I was wrong on the FaceTime thing, unfortunately.
Oh, that sucks.
I thought I had saw that, but
jailbreak.
Yeah. So anyhow, I think GarageBand for the iPad has the potential to be more successful, shall we say, than GarageBand on the Mac because of its portability.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love GarageBand on the Mac. I've produced 350 episodes of the MacCast and 70 episodes of the MacCast member show all on GarageBand.
Yeah, we do this podcast on GarageBand as well. We're recording into GarageBand right now.
Yeah, so. I really like GarageBand a lot. I know that it's not as popular as some of the other iLife apps. Certainly more popular than iWeb, I'm going to guess, but that's probably not saying much. But
it might not be. A lot of people use iWeb.
Okay, then
at least I know a lot of people. I get a lot of questions about it. So
maybe it's a regional thing because in the Denver area, I don't know anyone that's. No, I take that back.
You know,
I have one good friend that's using it.
You know, people who use high end tools. I have a lot of people who listen to my show, or a lot of people that just want to build family websites, or put up a photo gallery, or put together a simple little blog to keep their relatives and stuff up to date on what's going on. And they use iWeb. And I think that's the perfect application for it. iWeb and a .Mac account, it could not get simpler.
Yeah. All right, I'll give you that.
Okay,
but I'll still stand by my idea that GarageBand for the iPad has the potential to be more popular than GarageBand on the Mac.
But yeah, possibly. It'll be interesting. Musicians are really taking to the iPad as a device, and we're seeing a lot of these accessories come out that are supporting musicians, and just the iPad being an instrument in and of itself is an interesting phenomenon to me as well. So the more we can do with the iPad and music, I think the better. I mean, it's such an easy thing to have at a session. It's certainly being used by a lot of I've seen instances or articles where it's being used by a lot of professional musicians for just laying down and putting together preliminary tracks and ideas and things for upcoming albums.
Yeah, because it is so easy to just kind of fire up and go.
Yeah.
Well, on the podcasting front, I love the idea of being able to take an iPhone or an iPad, have a microphone connected to it, go out at an event, do interviews, put all of that audio onto an iPad, edit a show together right there, and then send it off wherever it needs to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We got to whip through the last couple things here because Adam's
got
to go. iMovie for iPad.
iMovie for iPad. See, to me, that's a better place to be editing video anyhow.
Yeah,
because you have
iPhone.
A bigger screen than your iPhone.
Yeah. Looks
awesome. It's the same thing as GarageBand, right? It's going to be a very popular thing. I'm not buying, like Jeff was saying earlier, people capturing the video directly on the iPad. I think they're going to bring it in from some other source.
Yeah.
But once it's on there, you're gonna be out somewhere or traveling and be able to throw together stuff really quickly and put that out in a presentation, something like that.
Now, my excitement for iMovie on the iPad just diminished a little bit because a little while ago, just a few minutes ago, Jeff Carlson tweeted that he got confirmation from Apple that iMovie for iOS will only work on iPad 2.
Oh, see, I've been getting conflicting reports on that. I heard they told Ars Technica that it would work on the original iPad.
Okay, so we're going to have to get a little more information. But so they're confirming with Ars Technica one thing, and then they're telling Jeff Carlson from Tidbits something else.
Yep.
And they also told Jeff that a movie that you edit on your iPad, when you take it back to your Mac, you can't edit it in iMovie on your Mac.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it does not.
As if they DRM it in some way.
Or there's something in the file format that totally borks it.
Which would be crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Apple's done crazier things. So,
yeah.
Well.
They have.
Wait, so say that again?
Okay, so what they told Jeff Carlson is that in addition to iMovie for the iPad being iPad 2 only, that if you edit a movie project on your iPad and take it back to your Mac, you cannot edit it in iMovie on the Mac.
Oh, edit the raw project.
Right.
I think that's how iMovie for the iPhone is.
Well, that's a big old bucket of lame.
Yeah, you can't pull off there's no project files to pull off. You can get the exported video out.
Oh, I see.
Like you can export that video as you know, full resolution, and then bring that into iMovie and work with it, but you can't get the raw edited components.
I understand now.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. It kind of sucks, but it makes sense.
No, I don't like it. Nope.
Yep.
I think it's a big bucket of suck.
Okay, last thing on the list before we get out of here. First-gen iPad is currently being liquidated from Apple's stock. It's reduced by $100. And where can you get that? Is it on the store?
If you go to the online Apple store and you go to the clearance section, which I think is bottom left corner of the
very,
website.
Very, very low. It's the bottom, the very bottom left.
In about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming, though, that means if you go into an Apple store, you get the discount price too.
Yep, and it's even the refurb ones are even more discounted. So $349 for a 16 gig refurb iPad. So yeah,
that's some good deals.
Good deals. All right, so we're gonna skip our iDevice picks. We're gonna skip the rest of the stuff that we have on our list because Adam has to get out of here. We'll be back next week. Of course, Jeff Gamet is at Before we do that, you can find our iPhone picks usually and our show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. Click on the episode for the current show that you're looking for. Check out all the show notes there, and you can leave your comments, questions, and whatnot below. And, of course, you can send your feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. The action item for this week is, of course, let us know if you actually want a mute switch on your iPad. feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, and of course twitter.com/jgamet is his Twitter. Zazzle.com/jgamet is where you can find a bunch of his stuff on a bunch of his drawings on various things, such as hats and shirts. And of course, the We Have Communicators mug is at Zazzle.com/jgamut as well. Thank you, Jeff, for being here.
Sure. As always, it's loads of fun.
Yes. And Adam Christensen is at the Mac Observer, MacCast, rather.
There you go.
Although he is at the Mac Observer too, right?
Kind of in the background.
Kind of.
Yeah. Adam is an absolutely critical go-to guy for Mac Observer. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without you, so thank you.
Yeah. So MacCast.com, Twitter.com/MacCast, and of course, member.MacCast.com.
Yeah. Yeah, I just did an episode today about how to figure out which new MacBook Pro to buy.
Awesome.
So, yeah, somebody wanted to know, how do I sort out all these different models? So I talked about that, and it's kind of applicable, actually, really, to buying any Mac, sort of the process I go through in evaluating, you know, do you get that extra 0.1 gigahertz on the processor? Is it really worth $300?
Yeah, I'd like to hear
that stuff.
I'd like to hear that, too. So... Yeah. And of course, you can find me on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Adam.
Yeah, thank you.
You can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/MichaelJohnston, and the Little Reviews page where I do small Twitter-sized reviews of various things, movies, food, drinks, all that fun stuff. twitter.com/LilReviews, L-I-L Reviews, is where you can find that. And with that, we will see you next week on We Have Communicators.
An internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No.
Yuck.
No. Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck. Wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. We're going to use the best pointing device in the world. We're going to use a pointing device that we're all born with. We're born with 10 of them. We're going to use our fingers. Our fingers. Yuck. Communicator. An iPod. A phone. Are you getting it? An iPod. A phone. An iPod. A phone. An internet communicator.